You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to America's Web Radio. This is Ron Bachman, and you're listening to Healthcare Insight. We've been taking a look at national health reform proposals to replace Obamacare that we know is failing, is in a death spiral. We've outlined details of various programs and options. We've suggested through about the first 9 weeks all the details that any legislator could want, any researcher could want, anybody studying the healthcare system could want and see what an alternative approach might be like. We have been providing specifics, structure, legislative language. All that is contained in the first 9 weeks of what we've presented so far since the early part of September. So you can look at the archives on AmericasWebRadio.com or go to HealthcareInsight.net, and all those programs will be there for anybody who wants to catch up on those details. The second thing we did in looking at healthcare reform was to take a look at the Republican Study Committee. It came out with a report just a few weeks ago outlining in its first of several reports some of the details on how it would change federal legislation, how it would expand health savings accounts, and how it would also utilize more effectively health reimbursement arrangements to improve the access and affordability of the individual marketplace. The difference between that and the first program we talked about, which I've called MAGA Health, where we provided all the details on how to structure a new concept around high-risk pools. I hate that name, as I mentioned several times. I prefer to call it an impaired health support plan. But in any case, for those who are familiar with high-risk pools, it is a creative, inventive new approach to high-risk pools that would provide some federal subsidy, some state subsidy, and other braided streams of funding for people who are otherwise high-risk, which means that the rest of the market, when you pull out those high-risk, would have lower costs. So it's a great way to restructure the system that was developed actually pre-Obamacare, but as Obamacare is dying and we're looking for replacement, it's a great way to provide for a complete concept on a replacement plan. So that was first. Second, as I just mentioned, was the Republican Study Committee. Republican Study Committee plan we went through in detail, describing it. It's more of an outline. It's not specific details on how the entire system would be restructured. In fact, the Republican Study Committee itself said that this was only part one and described some general outlines and some concepts that would be built into federal legislation. The third thing we did is we took a look at the executive orders by President Trump to expand areas of health care, even as we are under the burden of the Obamacare legislation and existing regulations. But there are some flexibilities, and the Trump administration has used its executive order powers to ask HHS and CMS, those organizations that control Obamacare, to make some flexibilities, provide for more options for people, and to redefine some of the definitions that have been previously more restrictively interpreted under the Obama administration. Today, what we'd like to do is try to talk about another approach called healthcare choices. It's a proposal that's been put together by a committee of folks looking at healthcare reform, but headed up by the Heritage Foundation, which has been a very instrumental Washington, D.C.-based think tank that has worked on conservative ideas, healthcare reform ideas, and is pushing some alternatives to Obamacare as a potential replacement. They've come out with a report, and I'd like to read through some areas of that report and comment on it for you so that you can see again that there are different options, different approaches, different suggestions on how we actually can replace Obamacare. What we need is the political will. We need new elected officials that actually are interested in passing things that will help the American people, that will help you and me and our family members get more affordable, accessible health care rather than what we're getting under Obamacare. So for a general summary of the health care choices proposal, it's got a subtitle, that's called Charting a New Path to a Down Payment on Patient-Centered, Consumer-Driven Healthcare Reform. Those are exactly the same words that I used in when we detailed the outlines for MAGA Health. So the summary they put out in the report reads this way. After more than 8 years of the Affordable Care Act, known as Obamacare, health insurance costs continue to spiral out of control, particularly for millions of Americans trapped in the individual and small group marketplaces. That is probably the best opening statement I've read of any of the proposals, because it recognizes the problem of both individual health insurance markets and small group markets. The small group market is where most of the uninsureds are. MAGA Health, that we've also discussed in those first nine sessions of Healthcare Insight, focused specifically on individual and small group markets. As we talked about the Republican Study Committee, it is mainly focused on the individual marketplace and loses the importance of the small group, which is where, again, most of the uninsureds really are. Choice and competition in most of the state's individual health markets has virtually collapsed, leaving millions of Americans with either limited or no choice of health coverage. Patient access to physicians and medical specialists has declined as health provider networks have progressively narrowed. That's the way costs have been kept down under the restrictive Obama benefit designs that have added more and more benefits that people really don't need or want in most cases. So in order to compensate for those increased benefits, the one-size-fits-all type of coverage that Obamacare requires everybody to have, you know, the Cadillac, the Mercedes level of coverage, when what we really want is a Chevrolet or a Kia. The way that insurance companies have compensated for this is to narrow the networks. Say you can only go to these providers, you can only go to these hospitals, and it creates a very limited access to the type of care you really want, especially if you want to go to certain specialists that are the best of class at certain hospitals around the country. You don't have access to them under many of the proposals because the network, the provider networks, have been narrowed down so that you have very limited choice of who can take care of you and who can deal with your healthcare issue. So the healthcare proposal choices proposal offers Congress a path to reset the course of a failed health reform system as a down payment on further needed reforms. So even here, the healthcare choices proposal is saying this is a first step. There's more to come. And that's obviously true of any legislation. You need to pass something in order to move forward, to be able to get to the next level, to make any adjustments that may not have been properly anticipated in the first. You know, healthcare reform, just like any legislation, goes through several processes. First, there's legislation. Then there's regulation. Then there's compliance. And then there's litigation. Those four steps are the process of any kind of new law: legislation, regulation, compliance, and then litigation, because people will challenge what the law means. Only a court ultimately will decide what legislative language means as we move forward. And so if the legal process turns up problems or issues or changes in definitions, what will then happen is we'll go back and we'll do more legislation. So it's a circle of life, if you will, in any regulatory legal system where you go through this whole process, you have litigation, and then it comes back. And just as Obamacare, that happened. We went through several rounds of legislation, regulation, compliance, and litigation. In fact, it's still ongoing. There's litigation going on right now that because the individual mandate was eliminated by Congress, that is no longer a tax bill as was originally defined by the Supreme Court. And therefore, the entire bill is thrown out because it does not have a severability clause, which most pieces of legislation have, that says if one part of the bill is unconstitutional, then the rest of it would still stand. That doesn't happen with Obamacare. So we're going through the process, and we may actually get to the Supreme Court once again around this whole idea of whether Obamacare is constitutional or not. And we'll see what happens. It'd be very rare the Supreme Court would rule that out. But the issue is that proposals are on the table, including this one the Healthcare Choices proposal that would give us a new system of health insurance, health coverage, and all that would provide for coverage of pre-existing conditions, a guaranteed issue. But what really needs to happen, in my opinion, again, looking at this very first step here, this first description, and we'll go into the details in the next segments of Healthcare Insight during this hour. But the real issue here is that we need to address both the individual and the small group marketplace. If we deal only with the individual marketplace and leave out the small group, we're really not accessing employer subsidies that pay for up to 75% of healthcare coverage for people who are working for them. Small businesses is a very problematic area for getting health insurance coverage. Many small businesses can't afford it. They're trying to get their feet underneath them to get started as a viable organization. And healthcare is one of the things that they put aside, hoping that their workers are going to get coverage in the individual marketplace or from their spouses, or that they'll go uninsured for a while or until that the employer can, in fact, put in some level of health insurance. That's not the way it should work. It should be that every small employer can access affordable health insurance for its employees. These different proposals move in that right direction, and hopefully we'll get some change if the legislation can be passed in Washington. We're going to need to have new elected officials. We're going to have a House of Representatives that's taken over by Republicans. Clearly, the Democrats want a single-payer system, a Medicare for all, government takeover of the healthcare industry, removal of private health insurance, where 160 million people get their health insurance coverage today. I don't think the American public is up for that. I don't think they'll vote for it, but we'll see in November 2020 what happens, whether or not the House can turn into Republicans and the Senate can maintain itself as a Republican majority. And ultimately that there's enough votes so that if Republicans lose a couple of the traditional ones that are not so Republican at times, Murkowski from Alaska, Collins from Maine, and Romney from Utah that seem to always go against the Republican and the presidents. We'll see where all that winds up. But in the meantime, let's take a look at this in more detail. It's about time for a quick commercial. So we'll be right back. You're on America's Web Radio, and you're listening to Healthcare Insight.
Hi, I'm Steve Rinaldo, host of the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio, talking to you about antique car insurance. In this hobby that I've been part of for years, not all insurance companies and insurance coverage is the same. I would suggest that you call J.C. Taylor or visit jctaylor.com to find out some information about some of the best antique car insurance you can get, such as agreed value insurance for your classic car. Again, if you're when you get ready to insure your classic antique or even your street rod, call J.C. Taylor Insurance or visit jctaylor.com.
My name is Kyle Hayes, a motorsports student at Alfred State College. Every year, Alfred State students compete in the Great Race, which is a cross-country time endurance rally for vintage vehicles. As you can imagine, it's pretty costly. I'm asking for your help. Your donation can make it possible for these students to live their passion and promote the vintage automobile industry. Please visit our site at give.alfredstate.edu and search Great Race to learn more and help us reach our goal. Thank you.
Get your pen and paper ready. If there's a move in your near future, I'm here to tell you that the folks I used and now recommend is Around Town Movers. Timothy and the guys recently moved me, and I am and was totally satisfied with a sometimes not-so-fun experience moving. Call Timothy at 770-378-4708 and make it a good move and a good experience. Around Town Movers, for that local or cross-country move. Timothy, Around Town Movers, in my opinion, are the best. That's Around Town Movers. Call them.
This is Ron Camacho, host of the Business Hour, on Fridays from 10 to 11 a.m. Join me as I talk with passionate professionals on a program that profiles the best businesses, business professionals, business practices, and fascinating individuals to get an insider view of how America works, 10 to 11 a.m. on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Healthcare Insight. We're talking about national health reform proposals that can create a free market system. There are a number of proposals out there. Trouble with most Republicans is they don't ever consolidate around a particular program. They're always arguing about something. They all want their own approach. And unlike Democrats who tend to work together, Republicans really haven't been able to do that in the past. So hopefully some of these proposals will gain some momentum, have more co-sponsors to get legislation passed, and we'll actually wind up with something that can actually replace Obamacare. In the meantime, what we're talking about in this particular hour right now is talking about a program that's put out by the Heritage Foundation, and it's called Healthcare Choices. It's also been a program that's been promoted heavily by the Galen Institute that has been working with the Heritage Foundation for quite some time. Grace Marie Turner has been a big advocate. She's testified on this, as have a number of people from the Heritage Foundation. So let's continue with the Heritage Foundation proposal so we can really see what that's all about and what they're suggesting. I'll read a little bit from here and comment as I go along. They have a section here called Healthcare is at a Crossroads. Well, that's pretty obvious. We are going to go either national healthcare reform under what the Democrats are proposing, or if we get the Republicans to actually coalesce around something rational, we can get some free market solutions. So it says some congressional leaders advocate keeping the flawed system, the Obamacare system, afloat by forcing taxpayers to bail out health insurance companies and to compensate for Obamacare's design flaws that are already driving up costs. One of the issues here around keeping the health insurance companies afloat is that one of the ways Obamacare was originally passed was with support of the insurance companies, because within Obamacare, there was a reimbursement process of transferring funds between companies if you signed up people who were good health versus people who had a lot of health costs, health issues. Because of guaranteed issue, you never knew how the mix would wind up. So as a consequence, there was a transfer. There was what's called a risk adjustment formula that transferred money from companies that made extra money, if you will, by having good lives sign up for them, to companies that may have had losses because the bad lives signed up with them. Now, one of the features under Obamacare was controversial in that the good dollars, the profitable companies, would offset the less profitable companies or the losers to the extent that it was a zero-sum game. In other words, there was no outside money coming in. The federal government wasn't going to compensate if there were too many companies that lost money versus companies that had profits. Well, in the Tax Reform Act of a few years ago, Senator Marco Rubio actually got put into that no federal funds could go in addition to the transfers between the insurance companies. So it took the federal government off the hook for adding money in to help bail out the insurance companies. That passed as part of the tax reform legislation. And all of a sudden now, the insurance companies weren't necessarily being bailed out. Well, Democrats would like to at least reverse that decision that was in the tax reform so that the insurance companies were always going to get bailed out forever. That doesn't exist now, which is why a lot of insurance companies were getting out of some of the markets for the individual policies where they were losing money. So that's one option that many are advocating, and the Heritage Foundation proposal is saying, we don't want to go that route. That's not what we want to do. We don't want to do a single-payer system, and we don't want to do Medicare for all. These proposals, they say, are in exactly the wrong direction. They say what we need now is what we needed before Obamacare. And that what was needed before Obamacare and is still needed in the wake of Obamacare's damage are reforms that reorient the system towards patient-centered and by giving individuals and families the ability to control the flow of healthcare dollars and critical healthcare decisions, and by forcing providers and insurers to compete for customers by offering better care at lower prices. That sentence, or a couple sentences there, really wraps up what should be the goal of any free market solution. To create competition in the marketplace, we have too many insurance companies that have consolidated, so there are fewer choices for national programs. There are discounts that are proprietary, make it difficult for new entrants to get in the marketplace to create any kind of regional competition, let alone national competition. Well, as we saw just last week, the Trump executive orders is going to have a big impact on that starting in January 1st. 2020, where hospitals have to post their prices, make them available, and right now they're all hidden, so that only people who know about what the real prices are the hospitals and doctors and the insurance companies. The patient really doesn't know, and any new startup company is at a disadvantage because they don't know what the pricing structure is for a hospital. We already talked about and gave numerous examples in the past about how hospitals have what's called a charge master. And these days, that charge master can be 8, 9, 10 times or more what they actually will accept as a price. So if somebody goes in and, as a new entrant, says, I need a 25% discount, well, that's not even close to being competitive with what Aetna, Cigna, United have as far as dramatically lower prices that the hospitals might not share with a new startup, because a new startup doesn't have customers yet. So what do they get charge? What kind of pricing do they have? Very uncompetitive pricing. So it makes it very difficult to have a competitive marketplace. So let's talk about charting a new course. Changing course will require congressional action. So that's what we talked about. We have to get new elected officials in the House of Representatives. We need to get new free marketers, Republican or Democrat. Right now, it looks like the only option is Republicans. Democrats seem to be all lockstep going towards national health care and more government control. If there were moderate Democrats, blue dog Democrats in the past, then I'd say there could be a bipartisan approach, but that just doesn't seem to be in the cards. So the only way to get free market health care, to get changes, lower costs, improve access to care, improve quality of care, seems to be to elect Republicans to take control of the House of Representatives. So the changing course is going to require congressional action, and that new path should do a number of things. It should have a robust personal choice and market competition. The only way to really improve the market for you and me and our family members is to have competition in the marketplace. We just described how anti-competitive, anti-market forces exist today under Obamacare and existed under pre-Obamacare. So when we make changes, we've got to build that into the system. We have to legalize affordable health insurance while protecting the poor and the sick. In other words, we don't have to have everybody own a Cadillac, own a Mercedes. We have to have some other options and choices that are more affordable to take care of people that are sick. We have to have subsidies to help the poor. So the one thing out of Obamacare, I guess, that has changed the game and already exists, and we can't go back on this one, and that is having more government funds provided to help people who are poor to get their health insurance. We'd like to have employers subsidized. We'd like to have individuals get tax advantages through health savings accounts, all those sorts of things. But we know that the reality is that we're going to have some government subsidies to take those people who are sick and high cost and do something with them to make insurance affordable for them. There are a couple of options that are sort of developing out there. One is called a silent or reinsurance program. The other is to do the creative, inventive rediscovery of the high-risk pool, but in a different form, which is what we described in MAGA Health. Their proposal is pretty straightforward. It would repeal Obamacare federal spending scheme and replace it with a more fiscally responsible block grants to states. Here we're talking about Medicaid. We're talking about the expansion of Medicaid under Obamacare, that instead of forcing every state to go to 138% of the poverty level, block grant these dollars back to the states. Let the states, who are very different — Georgia is very different from California, Mississippi is very different from New York, Wyoming is very different from Massachusetts — We have to have that kind of flexibility at state level. The state elected officials, the state governments know more about their population and what they need than some bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. So take those dollars that are currently being spent and block grant them back to the states and let the states figure out how they best can serve their populations. It would give individuals, as an example, the option to enroll in private health insurance of their choice. It would allow people, individuals enrolled in many of these government programs, such as Medicaid, the choice to opt in and enroll in private health insurance so that they could have the same coverage as their neighbors rather than having Medicaid, and many doctors and hospitals these days won't accept the Medicaid payment and reimbursements. So if you're under Medicaid, you may have an insurance card. The government may give you a card that says you have health insurance, which is the financing mechanism for health care. But because the financing mechanism is structured to have such low reimbursements, you can't get the health care that you really want from the providers that you want and need. You're excluded from many and accept only those that are willing to accept a very low payment, and those are not going to necessarily be the best providers that you need, especially when you get into the specialty care services. So there's a lot of things that can be done. Let me give you an idea of the skyrocketing costs that are going on under Obamacare. Americans enrolled in individual and small group insurance markets, those markets directly governed by the law, the Obamacare law, can expect big increases in the health insurance costs ranging from 15% to 30%. This year, for example, the standard silver plan, you know, we have these metal plans under Obamacare. Well, the silver plan is the most standard plan in the exchanges, and they face an average deductible of $4,000 per self-only coverage. And heaven forbid that you have a family, because that deductible is $8,000 for family coverage. The question comes up, do you really have insurance? If you're already having trouble affording health care, how in the world do you have a difficult time paying for both the premiums and then the deductible, let alone the coinsurance that would be typically 20% after that? So it's clear that Obamacare is just, this cost is skyrocketing. Even if the premiums are being subsidized, even if the premiums were to stay level, which they're not, you still have this enormous deductible just to keep the cost in some sort of a range that is not so extravagant that nobody can afford it. Just right now, very few can. So we've got to change the course. And as an example of the skyrocketing costs, between 2013 and 2017, the premiums under Obamacare increased by an average of 105%. Notice they more than doubled. There's got to be a better way to do that. There's got to be a better way to create some financing and help for health insurance. So today, too many middle-class persons, such high-cost coverage is practically inaccessible. Not surprisingly, there is an emerging evidence that more Americans are foregoing medical appointments simply because they cannot afford them. If so, even if they're paying premiums, the deductibles are such that people cannot pay for all these deductible costs, $125, $150 for a doctor's visit or $300 for a doctor and some tests. You're not getting any real coverage. What are you getting for that? Almost nothing for the things that we really want to take care of and prevent. So by not going to doctors, you wind up having more costs, not less. Well, let's take another break, and we'll be right back and delve into more details of the Healthcare Choices Plan.
Get your pen and paper ready. If there's a move in your near future, I'm here to tell you that the folks I used and now recommend is Around Town Movers. Timothy and the guys recently moved me, and I am and was totally satisfied with a sometimes not so fun experience moving. Call Timothy at 770-378-4708 and make it a good move and a good experience. Around Town Movers, for that local or cross-country move. Timothy, Around Town Movers, in my opinion, are the best. That's Around Town Movers. Call them.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Happy holidays. I'm Patty Levan, owner of Multiland Mortgage Services, Inc. Call us for details about our conventional loans with as little as 3% down, or talk to us about our FHA, VA, and USDA loan options. We answer your questions with honesty and integrity, because that's how we roll. Multiland Mortgage Services, your way home. Call us at 941-201-9111 or check out our website at multilandmortgage.com. Company founded by Joseph D. Powers, NMLS 158989, licensed in Georgia and Florida.
Welcome back to America's Web Radio. This is Ron Bachman, and you're listening to Healthcare Insight. We're talking about national health reform of various forms, various proposals, and what we've been talking about this hour is from the Heritage Foundation, a very influential Washington think tank that's been involved in healthcare issues. They've got tremendous expertise up there, and we've been talking about some of their proposals and what's been happening in healthcare reform and how the president has taken some actions, even without Congress, taken action through executive orders, through changes of some definitions in HHS to allow for greater freedom, greater market forces, and lay a foundation for what happens post-Obamacare. So let's talk about some of the major issues that the Heritage Foundation is trying to address. Let's talk about the declining choice among Americans in under Obamacare. Well, at the county level, the decline in patient choice and insurance competition has been devastating to the marketplace. In 2018, there were just two insurers offering exchange coverage in 35% of counties in the United States. And there was just one insurer in 52% of the nation's counties. So there are no real choices. There's no real competition. There's no need to meet the consumer's requirements, needs. They can be ignored because there's no other options. In 2017, only 10 insurers entered the marketplace. This is 7 years after Obamacare was passed. But 80 exited the marketplace. They didn't find it of any value. They didn't find that there was a need for competition because they were closed out. There was no way for them to really differentiate. And so the big players got bigger. The negative trends continued. In 2018, partway through the year, this is the latest data that's available, seven insurers entered the marketplace, and another 44 exited. So we continued to see insurance companies leave the marketplace once their losses were not going to be subsidized by the federal government. So there's no real choice. In 2016, Heritage analysts found that unsubsidized enrollment in the individual market declined by 8.2%. In other words, people who didn't get any real subsidy from the federal government. They were forced to buy products that they didn't want, that were too expensive, and they had no real choices. So that market declined by 8.2%. And that was after declining 7.5% in 2015. So people who had insurance got out of the marketplace because the products that were left available to them were too high in cost, limited the networks of providers that they wanted, and didn't meet their needs. Now, let's talk about less access to care. Americans enrolled in individual and small group markets were experiencing, as they have year after year since the law's enactment, progressively narrowing provider networks. Avalere, a national healthcare consulting firm, found that health maintenance organizations, HMOs, and exclusive provider organizations, EPOs, with narrow provider networks make up 73% of plans offered in 2018. That's up from 68% in 2017 and 54% in 2015. So what's been the effect of the law on access to care? It's clearly been limited because the products that were really made available under Obamacare had limited networks. An EPO, for those of you who don't know, is an exclusive provider organization that basically says and is utilized. In the past, it was mainly utilized by hospital systems that had all the services and wanted their employees under their own health insurance program to use that hospital's physicians. So other than that narrow network of the hospital providing care to its own employees, it said everybody else was out of network. Well, now those programs are being offered up broader in the community, and there's very little choice. For what people might say, when I want to have a broader network, I want to be able to go to MD Anderson. I want to be able to go to the specialists that are the very best in this country. So the result was some highly prized specialized medical practitioners are no longer in the Obamacare networks. The great example I just mentioned in Texas, the premier organization to deal with cancer, one of the major issues facing people in the United States today as they get older, is the increase and dangers of cancer. Well, the very best in this country, many would argue, is MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. They see by far more cancers, more types of cancers, are familiar with every detail. If I had cancer, that's where I want to go. I've already made that known to my family members. I don't care whether it's included or not included. I have to be able to afford to go, even if it's not included, because I want to save my own life. If a family member has cancer and they're in a network that doesn't include that, I will pay for that for them. But somebody otherwise under Obamacare couldn't go. They'd be excluded out. That's not American. That's not providing the best services to the people who are most in need. It winds up being only for people who can afford it. That's not fair. So the MD Anderson Cancer Center is not included in any individual plan on or off the exchanges. It has to be totally out of network. You have to pay the entire bill yourself, which could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why in the world do we allow a system to continue that has those kinds of restrictions? So there's been some relief around health care that was taken in the 2017 Tax and Jobs Cuts Act. And at the end of the year, the omnibus spending bill included two significant but limited congressional changes to Obamacare's regulations of the health insurance markets. Specifically, Congress eliminated the individual mandate penalty. People used to have to pay a penalty for being uninsured because they couldn't afford or didn't want the coverage that was mandated upon them. So we got rid of that. That was actually the basis of the federal government claiming that this was a tax and therefore it was constitutional. Well, that no longer exists, and that's why we're going through litigation today in the courts that says if we no longer have the individual mandate, everything else in Obamacare depended upon the individual mandate. That's what made it a tax. So Congress zeroed out the individual mandate penalty. While the mandate still remains in the law, the penalty for not complying was changed to zero. So we couldn't eliminate totally. We just said it was zero. And that started on January 1st, 2019. Also, by executive order and change of definitions, we delayed some of the Obamacare taxes. Congress delayed the effective date of some major taxes, the Cadillac tax, which almost every major employer is offended by, that if Congress feels that their benefits that they offer to the employees are too good, too rich, goes beyond Obamacare because they're concerned about their own employees and they know what their needs are, then they will have to pay a 40% penalty on the excess above what Congress thinks they should be paying. That was delayed until 2022. The medical device tax was also delayed until 2020. And the health insurance tax was delayed until 2019. It's been delayed further. So the administration has taken steps to offer relief from Obamacare. And specifically, they've offered a more aggressive definition of state waivers, the 1332 waivers that are allowed under Obamacare that give states more control. Under Obama's administration, those restrictions and requirements to enact 1332 waivers was such that nobody could really comply with them without basically reinventing Obamacare and doing exactly what Obamacare wanted them to do. They had very little flexibility. But now the Trump administration is actually saying, no, we will provide some flexibility. We will grant you as a federal government the ability to deal with your own population in your own state. What a great concept. Let the states actually deal with their problems and the different needs of their own populations. So in February 2017, the Secretary of HHS and the Centers for both Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is broad authority over the implementation of Obamacare, sent letters to governors signaling an openness to this new state flexibility. And we now have about 13 states that have applied for waivers so that the federal dollars that were otherwise subsidizing and inadequate, out of control Obamacare, those dollars are now allowed to be passed through to the states to be used in alternative ways that the states feel is best and most appropriate for their citizens. We've talked about some executive orders from the president. The latest one, just a few months ago and this past summer, says we're going to have some transparency in costs. And we have a whole program on that that we just did a couple weeks ago. There have been other executive orders to reinterpret regulations rooted in existing federal law to promote choice and competition in the marketplace. All that's happening without any congressional legislation because we're so bound up in hatred against each other. There's such division in this country that we can't get the logical things done to help the citizens of the United States because anything that could be done, the Democrats don't want Trump to get credit for it. They don't want him to be able to go into an election saying, I got this done for you, I got that done for you. I think the American public is actually going to say, no, you didn't let him get it done, so he had to do what he had to do. And it made sense. It helped us. He was thinking about us, and you're only thinking about yourself, Mr. Democrat, Miss Democrat. So he's done a lot of things in terms of executive orders, from allowing more HRAs to be utilized, the health reimbursement arrangements, to offering up broader definitions and allowance for short-term health insurance policies. So an awful lot has been done. An awful lot has been redesigned to help the American people. But is everybody feeling it yet? No, because there's still Obamacare hanging over all of us. And its consequences have been dire. Its consequences are that we have Obamacare in a death spiral because of its inherent flaws. It's got to be changed. We have to have some differences out there that really help. So we're going to go into the specific recommendations now from the Heritage Foundation after they've identified through their document the real issues that they want to address for small group and individual policies. That's what we'll focus on next. So let's take a quick break, and we'll come back in just a minute, and we'll get into the final segment and talk about the Heritage Foundation's recommendations step by step.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Healthcare Insight on America's Web Radio. We've been talking about the Heritage Foundation and its proposals called Healthcare Choices. And let's get into the very specifics, the key elements of that program. This program has been talked about in Washington. There's been testimony received by members of Congress and Congress committees. So this is a real legitimate proposal that has the strength of the Heritage Foundation behind it and a lot of people in Washington who see the logic of its basic principles. So let's take this last segment of this hour and talk about some of the key elements that are in the details of the proposal. First thing is, they recommend, is to eliminate the Obamacare spending schemes. Under the current formulation, Obamacare is expected to cost taxpayers roughly $1.6 trillion between now and 2028. The proposal would repeal and replace the federal financing for several areas. One, the exchange premium subsidies. Two, the exchange cost-sharing subsidies. And three, funding of the law's Medicare expansion. What would it do in replacement of some of that? It would provide block grants to states. In lieu of the Obamacare spending scheme, the proposal would provide states with a fixed allotment of federal funding. The funding would be based on current state Obamacare funding and would generally rebalance based on each state's number of low-income residents, bringing greater equity between the states. What a great thought. Actually provide subsidies to states based upon the low income. Get away from everybody gets 90%. No, that's not equitable for some states that have more people in the low income area. Those subsidies should be provided greater. Give them in a block grant so the states can actually take care of the citizens like they really should. Not as Obamacare says they should, but as the governors and legislatures of those states would like to provide for their citizens. Low income, at least half the state's grant funding would be used to provide coverage for low income populations. So of that block grant, guarantee that at least half of the block grants are going to subsidize low income. Private coverage, at least half of the state's grant funding would be used to support the people's purchase of private coverage. So that would be the way the Heritage Foundation should say that the funds would be best split, half to cover coverages for poor people and half to be sure to support the purchase of private coverage. Private coverage is going to give people more access to the kinds of care that they want. It'll give proper reimbursements to providers so that you can actually go to the providers of your choice. What about risk mitigation in the Heritage proposal? Well, the state grant funds will be used to offset the cost of individuals with expensive medical conditions through at least two approaches. A reinsurance program, which actually has been adopted under these new flexible guidelines for 1332 waivers. I think there's 13 states now, 12 of them have decided to go to a reinsurance program where claims above a certain level or between a certain range are actually subsidized by the federal funds that are allowed under 1332 as an alternative to Obamacare. The other approach that's been offered up under the Healthcare Choices program is other similar mechanisms to that reinsurance program. One of the main areas that the White House has already indicated an interest in is developing a creative, inventive reinvention, if you will, of the high-risk pools. That is exactly what MAGA Health offers up as an option. Is the MAGA Health approach is a creative program to help the high-risk pool participants, the impaired health, as I like to call them, so that under a 1332 waiver, as an example, and maybe under the ultimate Obama replacement that continues to have some federal subsidies, is for one group, you pull out those people who are truly sick, have impaired health, and you provide some support for them as we develop this new high-risk pool, this creative, inventive approach to dealing with people who have high potential claims. And you have a separate pool of money that's actually available to help people who are not necessarily sick like the high-risk pool population, but that are poor and need some subsidy to be able to afford current-day health insurance. That would be the approach that would make a lot of sense. And that's what MAGA Health actually develops as the alternative. Well, let's continue to look at other issues that the Heritage Foundation Health Choices plan suggests. Let's talk about premium support. Individuals who are subsidized by a state grant program and individuals currently on Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program would be able to direct their share of funding to the private coverage of their choosing. What a great creative option that would be, that people, instead of going on Medicaid where they can't get the care that they want because the reimbursements are so low, 30, 40, 50% of doctors don't accept those patients anymore because they can't afford to deal with people who have reimbursements that are so low. Give those people a chance to take that federal subsidy that's behind the Medicaid program or behind the Children's Health Insurance Program and actually let them be able to purchase private health coverage of their choosing with the benefits that they want. Here's another item from the Heritage Foundation. Pro-life protections. By making the grant program an amendment to the existing federal CHIP, that's the Children's Health Insurance Program, statute, the current pro-life protections that prohibit taxpayer funding of abortion in CHIP would also apply to the new grant program. So, I know this is going to be controversial about having insurance funded by the federal government that provides for abortion, but the Heritage Foundation is keeping the current standard of federal funding for Medicaid and the CHIP program that would carry over into private insurance could not pay for abortions. That's part of a federal law, and so they're suggesting a carryover of that, recognizing that that's what most of the Americans want, is that there's no funding going for abortion, taking of life. That's such a sensitive issue for so many people. It's built into federal law now. And so it ought to carry over if we make these kinds of changes to allow people to buy in the private insurance, so the private insurance that they're purchasing does not cover abortions. Optional uses. States could also incentivize insurers to offer discounts to individuals who maintain continuous coverage or to young adults in general who have been fleeing the market altogether. So allow incentives for keeping your insurance, for maintaining your insurance, instead of this in-and-out system that's currently under Obamacare, where I can have coverage for a while I'm sick, and then I can drop out when I'm feeling better, and if I get sick, I'll come back in. In fact, under Obamacare, most people don't even realize that you only have to pay for 9 months out of a year under Obamacare, because if you drop out after 9 months, the law says that the insurance company and the providers of care have to continue to give you the services and make reimbursements, even though you don't have coverage. How crazy is that? Well, this would say there ought to be a way to incentivize people to keep their coverage, give them a discount, frequent flyer type points, preferred customer type points. The next area that the Heritage Foundation recommends is extend the new regulatory flexibility for states. The Healthcare Choices proposal would repeal certain costly and constrictive federal regulations, returning state regulatory authority over such matters, bringing about more affordable options. States know what their own citizens want and need. They can be better positioned to create the flexibility, the approval of policies for citizens in their states, to provide the networks that are required, to provide the coverages that are required, to provide the options and choices, all those things that can't be done at a federal level because they too often do a one-size-fits-all. So here's some of the proposals then. Repeal the federal single risk pool requirement, probably the most damning and damaging proposal under Obamacare, is the single risk pool. It says we can't differentiate between people, who actually take care of themselves, who do healthy behaviors, who follow the doctor's orders, who take their medications, who keep themselves from being hospitalized. A diabetic who takes care of themselves is much more likely to have lower costs than somebody who doesn't. They're not going to be rehospitalized over and over again. They're not going to have their foot amputated. They're not going to be going blind. We ought to be able to encourage and reward, incentivize those people. Unfortunately, the single risk pool damages not only the individual insurance market, but the small group, because under Obamacare, those are all lumped together. The small group and the individual policies are put together, so I can't differentiate the experience. And I think each one of us has the right to be covered under the type of coverage that we need and be on our own risk pool. That one change would make an enormous amount of difference in the ability to provide affordable health care and for us to be able to find as individuals. Next area they say is repeal the federal essential health benefits requirement. Obamacare outlined 10 areas, not all of which we need, not all of which everybody else needs. There needs to be a structure in place that says we don't have to provide a one-size-fits-all, and that's what they're suggesting. One of the other big areas that they're suggesting under the Heritage Foundation is repeal the federal age rating limitation. Some call this price compression, where young people have to pay more so that older people can pay less. That ratio of the cost differential between a 20-year-old and a 60-year-old can only be 3-to-1 under Obamacare, when the reality is it's more like 5-to-1. We got to repeal that. And the only way Obamacare overcame that is say, well, okay, we're going to charge more for young people, but then we're going to give you subsidies. So it's like, okay, we created the problem as the federal government. Now we're going to correct it. And the federal government just gets their hands involved and messes everything up when they do that. So there's differences of opinions on what the cost is to the younger people. The Heritage Foundation actually says the cost differential for young adults is about a third, a 33% increase in cost. I think it's more like 50% increase in costs. And young people don't need to have their costs increased by 50% just to help subsidize the older folks. So those are some of the major issues of the Heritage Foundation. I hope you've gotten some insights in this program as to what the Heritage Foundation is proposing. There's some great suggestions in there. There's some great suggestions in the Republican Study Committee we did the last couple of weeks. There's some great suggestions in the president's executive orders. There's some fantastic detail and outline in the MAGA Health that we did for the first 9 weeks of this program. So feel free, please, go back and look and read and study this stuff. It's all available on americaswebradio.com. Just go to Thursday at 11 o'clock in the programming area, and then at the bottom of my resume, you'll find copies of all these podcasts, and you can listen to them, you can study them, you can share them with others. Please do that. And if you have any questions, please submit them. Submit them to America's Web Radio at their website, and I'll get them and I'll try to answer. So I look forward to talking about other proposals and other ideas to reform healthcare, which I think is going to be a major issue in the election for the president and the control of Congress in 2020. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.